Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Chris Carter is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Okay, where did you watch last night's game, if I can pry a little bit?
In my master bedroom.
Okay.
So, in Boca Raton, Florida.
So you're a bedroom watch. You're not a couch, not like a TV room. You've got a, like the bedroom. That's where you do it.
Well, we watched for the most part. My wife said she was starting to go upstairs, and she wanted to finish watching it upstairs. So I was watching it outside, and I'm taking advantage of the beautiful weather here.
Mm-hmm. Taunting.
And so then I moved, and then that's when we started getting hot.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you.
That might be my new spot.
Okay. Are you, okay, if I was observing Chris Carter during last night's game, are you stoic? Are you emotional? Are you riding the waves? How does that play out?
I mean, I ride the wave like with partial player, partially a fan, but really cheering for people.
Okay.
And, you know, typically it's, those are the storylines behind the people. And, you know, I love KO and what he's doing with the Vikings. And then, you know, ultimately, like when I talked to the team this summer, the thing I addressed them about, eventually, KO, you got to develop a quarterback. Like, you can't be no quarterback whisperer unless you can get in the draft.
Yes.
Have all these different options. Pick one yourself and develop him. And then we can take advantage of him being on his rookie contract and put other talented people around him. That's where the Minnesota Vikings are today.
So let's talk about that. Considering how it played out, would you have preferred last night facing legitimate adversity, a pick six, and then McCarthy throwing two touchdown passes and running for a third in the fourth, which has never been done in a derby before, or would you have preferred just a thorough clinical performance right from the start?
I mean, whatever it is, it is. Eventually, we're going to get the talent out of the kid. He's got it in him. The stage is set. That's where the NFL is. And if you can do it in Detroit, Chicago, and in Green Bay, that bodes well for your NFL career and for Vikings fans. So, typically, there's no easy way into the league. Typically, get beat up coming in. And typically, there's no exit strategy. So, you end up getting beat up going out.
Yeah.
So, he's already faced a lot of adversity in being injured his rookie year and having to watch that offense play at a prolific clip and watch Sam Darnold. And, you know, to be able to see that's his job. And then all the rumors this offseason, you know, what is, you know, Kevin O'Connell going to do as far as a quarterback? Are they going to take a shot at Aaron Rodgers? Do they really believe in the kid? Well, maybe his injury was going to take longer. He had a setback. You know, all these things that we don't know how much of that was true. But ultimately, you know, they drafted him, and they were going to give him the keys to the franchise and give him an opportunity. And he has an awful lot of talent around him. My biggest concern was left tackle Darisol being out.
Yep.
That for a young quarterback, you know, that's a security blanket better than a tight end. When you know your blind side is going to be protected. And Chicago did a good job, you know, early in the game, you know, putting him under duress.
Yeah, and the left tackle school clearly is not Darisol in the first half. That was an issue. So as you're watching, and you don't have the wisdom of the game plan, but you have the wisdom of a Hall of Fame career. So when you're watching in the first half, then the nailer pass late in the first half sets up a field goal, what do you think wasn't working, and then what impressed you most about his play in the fourth quarter when the offense came through with the 21 points?
Well, earlier in the game, it's about generating first downs. And you have to understand it's going to be difficult as offense to operate, especially with a young quarterback. You know, I could see in the telecast it was awful loud there. They were having problems with the communication. And they were rushed by the clock an awful lot.
Constantly.
So the NFL football game is going to put you under duress. And then now when you put yourself, because of the mechanics, and I don't know what it was, I don't know, just something that the Vikings had between them and the quarterback that was not allowing them to administrate the way you typically run their offense. And we've seen this offense with a lot of different quarterbacks, and that's typically not something that they struggle. So for me, you know, what their identity was going to be, they're going to be a bigger, stronger, more powerful offensive line, especially through the center and the two guards. And we got two running backs. We're going to utilize both of them, run the ball more this year. And with, TJ being 1 year removed from that injury, we should set us up with some good play action pass. And Jordan Addison is going to have a breakout year. We are through one game of that suspension. So, those are the things I'm thinking before the season. Like, mm-hmm. When am I going to start seeing these things? And I know JJ has the traits to be a number one quarterback. And I'm glad that we are grooming him as a pocket quarterback and we're only using his athleticism as a trick. You know, red zone, which they made a great play call with the option fake there, and he's able to get outside and score the football. But, you know, we are developing him in the pocket, and that's the hardest thing to do with a young quarterback. So those are the things that I was thinking about. Okay, mm-hmm. When are things going to happen? And it's tough to win in Chicago. And this being his first start, he's got over 100 people at the game, all this outside pressure. You know, the game is moving too fast for him, and when is it going to slow down? And for our defense to allow us to stay in the game and us to get the 3 points before halftime, I think that was huge momentum. We're just in striking distance of still winning, and I played horrible.
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't know the score and you just watched the game after 30 minutes, you think the Bears are up 3 scores, potentially, the way it played out. Now, you pretty much answered this, but I want to ask you, because you talked about at some point this organization, if KOC is truly a quarterback whisperer, you have to get a guy, you have a guy. So if this team, if KOC would have listened to Aaron Rodgers, and KOC has been pretty honest about the relationship and that Rodgers wanted to come here, if this team would have signed Rodgers and told JJ to wait another year, what would you have thought about that decision?
I'm one of those kind of people that I trust who the Wilfs are going to put in charge. And I really try to support their decisions. And if you look at since they've been here, the type of people they're bringing into the locker room and the family atmosphere that they do have, you know, I thought it would hurt his development, because if that quarterback and Aaron Rodgers plays well, what do? You roll it back again?
Yeah.
Run it back again?
Right.
Like, and then so now we're in year three that quick, which becomes a money year of, okay, now am I going to take his fifth year option? So, like, you really move the process back. And I think that with the other players around it, the team, and really concentrating on big people, interior defensive line, interior offensive line, realizing if we're going to beat the Philadelphias, the Detroits on a regular basis, we're going to have to get better in those areas and be able to do that. And we're back to their quarterback evaluation before the draft. And like, he's our quarterback of the future. So, they reset, and it's obvious that they got it right. And it's going to be exciting to be able to see this football team and to be able to see JJ as he grows as the starting quarterback for the Purple.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Hall of Famer, Chris Carter, who's kind enough to join us. Chad Hartman here with you on CCO. So let's talk about a little bit of that power football, along with the Bears being the Bears. When they have the ball, first and 10 at the 24, and Caleb completes that pass to Swift, and then it's borderline first and goal. It's first and 10 at the 12, but I thought, a pretty bad holding call. Then he had an intentional grounding. So it gave the Vikings life, and part of how the Vikings just imposed their will was some of that power football. I was really impressed by Mason. What did you think about the way he played, and what are your thoughts on him just overall?
I think they got the perfect type of player who's a good complement to what they already have in Aaron. And I also believe Vernon Hargraves. You know, a lot of people don't realize 2 years ago, I mean, he's one of the elite bullies in the National Football League. Like, that's what he does. And he was injured last year to be able to get him. So the ability to be physical from the tailback and to be physical from the defensive tackle with B-Flow, with all those blitzes and all those weapons that we have, you know, as far as our linebacking core, like, I mean, they got so much better in those two players.
Mm-hmm.
And Mason fits perfect with the three new offensive linemen, too, because we couldn't do that before. We're too small at the center position. Our guards weren't that good. You guys can't say stuff like that, but I can. And, you know, so now they'll utilize him with this offensive line, and the change of pace that it's going to give us is what it made Chicago do, was put an extra guy in the box, which opened up pass coverage. So then the young quarterback could look down the field and throw the football with a little bit of time there in the fourth quarter. So that's what running the football, it's an underrated skill to be able to have. And, it travels through the month, September, October, November, December, January. And a championship football team is going to have to be able to run the ball. And it's nice to be able to see that we have the variance for which we'll be able to run it now as far as the options of who we want to give it to.
Well, including, and it's not like I'm studying left guard play throughout the game, but I do pay enough attention to these services where they rank them. And I know some coaches believe in it, some don't. But I checked out a few, and people were raving about Donovan Jackson from your school, Ohio State. What were your thoughts on him and kind of how he fits in that mindset and the additions you're talking about?
Well, before the Vikings decided to draft him, like, he's a great kid. Great leader, soft-spoken, accomplished, hard worker, comes from a great family. Ohio State paid him $1 million his last year there.
Think about that. My gosh. You played too soon, man. I mean, you would have taken.
You never know it's going to work out that way.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
So, you know, his ability and the perfect fit inside, you know, the Vikings locker room and inside that offensive line with the revamp, bringing the two guys over from Indy. And, you know, they've been playing powerful football there in Indianapolis, underrated for a long, long time, with very, very good running backs, having great seasons. We know you had the franchise tackle on the outside. Can't wait to get him back. But, you know, Jackson next to him, you know, that's how you're going to be able to beat Detroit, Chicago, Green Bay, Philadelphia, potential Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore. Like, that's how you're going to be able to beat all these teams. Like, our scouting department's really done well as far as the players that we've drafted of late. And he should be a really good football player for a long, long time. And to do great things in the community, because that's where he comes from. He comes from good people, and he's already started. He's already got a great reputation with his college days there in Columbus.
Last thing, and I'll let you go again. Chris Carter's with us. Kevin O'Connell now in one score games is 27-9. You played for a lot of good coaches, in particular Denny Green, and there are some coaches who have years where you're 3-5. In one-score games. We're not talking 36 games. What does that say to you about their approach if the number is this high and at that high of a success rate?
I mean, who else in the league right now can you compare that to besides Andy Reid? I saw that they finally, you know, lost one, a one-score game, which they hadn't done in you know, a couple years or something like that. So it really speaks to the system. He has a program established. He's also got a great deal of belief from the players. Like, because even though the players have changed, like, he's been the constant. So that, and once you have success at that, and you let guys know, like, listen, the same thing he told JJ at halftime. Like, you're going to be the guy to bring us back. You're going to be the guy throwing the game-winning touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what he was telling him at halftime.
Right.
And he's got enough professor and NFL quarterback like in him, that combination. When you run, he ran the tailback on a route out of the backfield. We couldn't pass the ball at all. He ran him on a double move, isolated on the linebacker.
Yep.
And I'm like, bro, that's a football play.
Yeah. Right.
He called that play. And it's not where, you know, everything's working out. Like, if we don't complete that pass right there for those big, because big plays were hard to come by. And to see him do it over and over, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's Justin Jefferson doing it, but all up and down the offensive skill guys, at key times, he calls their number, and they're able to be able to come up with a play. So, you know, it really breeds confidence, and, you know, he's got a legitimate program, and he is legitimately one of the best coaches in the NFL.
I got to sneak one more in because it's personal. When you watched your friend and your former teammate, Randy Moss, ring that cancer bell, talking about his progress and what he's been through, what did that mean to you?
Oh, it means the world. It means the world. I mean, that disease, eventually, you know, it knocks at your door or your neighbor's door. And the greatest athlete, it just lets you know how just mere mortal that we are. And besides our extraordinary athletic ability, you know, we always have an opportunity to have a platform to make a positive message. And that's what Randy's done through this whole thing. He's totally floored by it because it definitely caught him off guard, totally out of left field. But, you know, he's a huge success story. He's a huge overcomer. So I'm not surprised by that, but to see it, you know, that's to me because he was always like my little brother, you know, to see this blindside him, but to see him have success at it, you know, it makes you feel good as a fan of the purple and a fan of human beings. And, you know, life's not fair.
Nope.
But, you know, we do have an opportunity once we do encounter things like this, to stay positive and have positive effect on other people.
Fabulous as always, my friend. I know you're busy. I really appreciate you coming on. Hope the family's well, and thank you so much for your time.
All good, man. Thank you, buddy.
Chris Carter. It's 27 past 1 on News Talk 830 WCCO.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.